Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
Well, thank you for that very warm welcome. I love this church so much. You know, it's weird what happens when you're just worshipping sometimes. I remember getting married on this altar in this church. Funny you would say that. I was actually thinking about that. I'm like, God, so much of my life I owe to this amazing church. I'm thankful for Pastor Phil and Chris Pringle who started it. I'm thankful for all our incredible pastors and team that have so faithfully been in the church and building us as people all their life. I'm so grateful. I met Rubes at youth a long time ago and had my kids all dedicated here. And what a house, hey? What a church. What a church community. It's been such, obviously, an integral part of my Christian walk, as it may have been as yours too. Like everything I learnt about the Bible or directional to get into the Bible and pray, I was inspired, you know, from this house. And I was thinking about what I was going to speak about this morning. And many times when I've spoken before, I've really inspired people and told great stories about when we've cried out to God and God's met us. Anyone else, he cried out to God on occasion, on your knees, in desperation, God help me. Plenty of times. And you know, we do it because we've been taught this verse in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Anyone who asks receives. So we've asked with great faith from our God. I've done this many, many times myself. But what I want to talk about today is maybe when you've stopped asking. What happens when you've stopped pursuing God and chasing Him down? And this can happen for various reasons. What about the person that has been sick for a very long time and they have chased God and cried out to Him for years and they're still sick? Better worse, they die. How do you marry that up? What about if you're praying for a marriage and you have been crying out to God and it's still not going great? These kind of things. What about an addiction? You've put it to God on the altar over and over and over again, yet you're still suffering and struggling with this addiction. What about if you just get a little dry? Just find yourself just a little distant from God. Sometimes these are the things that stop us crying out. Well, I can tell you that you're in good company this morning. Does this sound like you this morning in Romans 7:15? I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It's the sin living in me. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is my sinful nature. And I want to do what's right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. This is scripture speaking to anyone this morning. It goes on in verse 20, but if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really doing the wrong thing. It's the sin that's living in me. I've discovered the principle of this life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love the law with all my heart. Do you know who wrote this? Paul, the Apostle Paul, Saint Paul, the amazing Paul that wrote most of the New Testament. We're in good company when Paul writes stuff like this. It reminds us that sometimes we just don't cut it. I'm going to keep reading here in verse 23. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind, and this power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. It does get better and lighter, more encouraging this morning, people. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It finishes well. But you know what? Sometimes I think that we have tried so hard, or we're feeling so dry and the circumstances haven't changed, that we even think that it's possible that God too has given up on us. We give up on ourselves, but we think because of my inevitable failures, God too has given up on me. But I want to encourage you from Psalm 23 from the Message version this morning. Your beauty and love chase after me all the days of my life. God's beauty and love chase after you all the days of your life. Chase after me. If you're chasing after someone, they're running away. Are you running away? It's okay. God is chasing after you. He is chasing after you, and I tell you, He will chase you down. When I was thinking about this, about that feeling of being discouraged where you think not even God is on my side anymore, I was thinking, does anyone here follow sport of any description? Anyone? There's a few of you. Just encourage me because I've got a sports story. So anyone here, just put your hand up, give me a shout. Okay, good, good, good. For those of you that don't, you'll know what I mean anyway. Okay, I want you to picture the sporting team. It might be, you know, your favourite team, and it might be a team that does, you know, it's okay. There's a comp, right? And there's like maybe 20 rounds in this comp. And they might start off okay. You know, the first game, everyone rocks up. It's super exciting. We've got our colours on and we're here to cheer on our team. And then they lose. It's like, so next week comes around. Do we go to the footy? No, we'll go. We'll go. A few people stay home. So the crowd isn't quite as big. And then they lose again. The next week, it's raining. We've lost two on the trot. Do we go? I probably wouldn't go. I'd probably stay home and watch it on TV. Some people go, fans go, but the crowd, the support is dwindling. And in fact, the opposition that is playing your team, their fans increase because they're after blood. They know this team will probably lose. You lose 10 on the trot. The only people there supporting you are diehard fans. Does anyone know those diehard fans? I remember there was a Seinfeld episode years ago where Elaine is dating this closet diehard fan, and he comes out completely covered in red paint with a big letter on his chest. That's a diehard fan. Those fans rock up to the game when you've lost 10 on the trot. And as the enemy's fans, the team that's going to kill you in that game because you're destined to lose, their cheering for your downfall increases. But in the stand somewhere is this little band still cheering their team for a win. They've got faith that this team could possibly get it up this time. When you're in your life and you're feeling like you've lost 10 on the trot, your body language is downcast. Does anyone watch those teams, right up to little kids' sport teams where they're getting thrashed, and those games are brutal. They can be like 64-2 in basketball recently. This is what we watched. I'm not going to those games. And my son's on the two side. And they walk down to the other end like this. They don't hear mum and dad going, come on, you can do it. Well, dad going, come on, you can do it. Because they're downcast, you know, they glance up to the score, there's no coming back from that. But I tell you, if you look to the stands, you will find a die-hard fan there. And that fan is Jesus Christ, your Lord. That fan is shouting your name, saying, get up, do it again, I believe in you. No matter how many times you fail, I will be here cheering you on. Let's give Jesus a big hand this morning. He is so good. I want to encourage you with Romans. This is God speaking to you. Romans 8. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Him who loved us, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height, nor anything else in all creation, nor 100 failures or 10 losses on the trot will be able to separate us from the love of God who is Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how I know. That's how I know that he is never leaving you, always. In Zephaniah, this very small book towards the end of the Old Testament, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. This is unconditional. This is not the Lord only when you are doing well, only when you are full of faith, only when you are crying out to him. This is the Lord's unconditional love, undeserved love and grace and favor towards you. No matter what you do, how good is that? I'm telling you what the Lord is not doing. He is not those other fans on the other team calling out loser. Told you so. I knew you'd lose. He is not mocking you and saying, I told you so. I knew it. I knew you'd fail. I set up that test so you... No, that is not the Lord your God. The Lord of your God says in Psalm 23, he is a beauty and love chase you every day, good, bad or ugly of your life. He is chasing you down. I'm thinking of the story of Moses. Who loves the Bible that God has put all the outtakes in the Bible? They're not perfect people. You know, if I was David, I'd want a few outtakes out of the Bible. If I was Moses, I'd like a few chapters out of the Bible. But no, God leaves them all in there because this is where we're all at together. When Moses was born, he was born in a time of certain death. He was going to be murdered by the current king of the day, yet God was with him. I love that God was with him when he was born. He was with him when his mom in faith built this basket and lay her precious son into that and pushed it out to the sea to save him. I believe it was the hand of God that gently pushed that basket into the courts of the Egyptian princess. And God was there when Moses was taken out of that basket. God was there as he grew up in the Egyptian courts, not even knowing his identity or his future. God was there when he became aware of who he was and ran away. God watched him and was there when he was in the wilderness. And I want to pick up the story here in Exodus 3, where we see that Moses was not pursuing God. He's not. He's wandering around in the wilderness. He is not pursuing God. But I'm telling you, God is pursuing him. One day Moses was tending the flock and he led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him blazing from the middle of a bush. Moses stared at amazement. So he's drawing Moses in. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? He doesn't even know that God has pursued him to this place. Moses didn't find God. God found Moses. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him and said, Moses, Moses, and he replied, here I am. That's a good answer, isn't it? Here I am. Do you know there's a dialogue that ensues? You can read it in Exodus chapter 3, where God's saying, Moses, I want you to do this. I'm going to be with you. Moses says, no, 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 you have the wrong guy. Back and forth three times. If my kids answer back and forth to me three times, I'm not happy. But God uses Moses anyway. I do believe, though, that Moses had a choice at this point. Although he answered back and he got on board with God, he had the choice right then and there. Do I listen and believe what God is saying, or do I walk away? And we know what he did. He listened and he went, and he's amazing, and he's in history ever since for it. In that particular story, Moses was just wandering in the wilderness, just dry and away from God. In this next story, we see a woman in sin. She's been caught in the act of adultery. And I do wonder how you'd be caught in the act of adultery in those days. So these Pharisees drag her out into the courts, ready to have Jesus say, yes, she should be put to death. She should be stoned, as the law of this day says. They want to catch him out and they use her, this sinful woman. And let's see how Jesus shows up in John 8. And he says, all right, let you, he who is here, that has never sinned, cast the first stone. And it says, when they heard this, they all slipped away. And so then Jesus says in verse 10, where are your accusers? Didn't even one condemn you? No, Lord, she says, and neither do I. Go and sin no more. Now, Jesus didn't say she wasn't sinning. If we're going to ignore sin, we don't free anyone. He gave her a choice in this place, and the choice was go and sin no more. And the very next verse, in verse 12, it says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world if you follow me, if you follow me. It gives us a choice. God may pursue you, but then the choice is up to you. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you'll have the light that leads to life. You know, it's our own guilt or condemnation that pushes us away to God. When sin is exposed, when we come to God, his gracious love leads us to repentance. It's so great and so freeing, but you have to make that choice. You have to make that choice to follow the Lord and go into that light. If you follow me, how do you respond to the Lord? Because how you respond to the Lord is going to determine whether you live in bondage in a certain area of your life or whether you experience the great and glorious freedom, the free gift of salvation. It's all up to us. If you're involved in anything right now that you know you shouldn't be, can I encourage you right now to renounce that? If you need to bring it into the light publicly, go and see one of our pastors or a connect group leader or a friend and get it out. Speak it out and repent and know that the Lord has pursued you to that place and then his loving grace and kindness will sew you up. He is so good. He doesn't want to leave you in the way that you are, but it brings such great life and freedom. In Joshua 24, and I'd encourage you, if you're going to go and read the Bible today at some stage, read the whole chapter of Joshua 24. It's so good. I'm just going to read verses 14 and 15. So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River. So we might not necessarily have little idols in our home that we worship these days and put little things and what have you, but we've got other idols. They're a little more subtle, but they're things that we place above God. It might be your trust in your bank balance and you've placed it above God. It might be something that you're not completely submitting to God, something that you love more. I love spending time more than this than God. That's an idol. And Joshua says, put those things away and serve the Lord alone. If you refuse to serve the Lord, well, choose. What are you going to serve? Because you can't serve both, is what he's saying. I would encourage you now to be like Joshua and proclaim in this place this morning, but as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Let's make that choice this morning. I want to share with you now my 5 tips to successfully choosing God. Number 1, well, they're not in any order. They're just 5 tips. But I think that an important one is to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you. In Luke 24, verse 9, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. And God keeps his promises. Stay here until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power. And it's free and unmerited, his power. When we read in Romans where Paul is going, why do I do what I don't want to do? And back and forth, on and on. And he ends that scripture by saying, but for Jesus Christ, but for Jesus Christ, my Lord. It said that it was better for Jesus to go, that the Holy Spirit would come and fill us with power. We will forever battle those things in our lives if we do not have the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome it. So ask the Holy Spirit to come into that area of your life, into every area of your life. Acknowledge God in everything you do, every decision you make, everywhere you go. Invite God into those decisions. Acknowledge Him. I love that when God called Moses to the bush and He calls out His name, Moses, and He says, "Here I am." He acknowledged, "Here I am." He responded. When God taps you on the shoulder and says, "Get up and pray in the morning," I would encourage you to go, "Yes, Lord, I don't feel like it, but I'm going to." Something in the atmosphere breaks when you speak, "I'm going to." I acknowledge that I'm really tired and I don't want to get out of bed, but I'm going to. But what we tend to do is roll over and ignore that voice of God. But He pursues us to a place. He only wants the best for us. He says, "Come and I will meet you." So acknowledge Him. Position yourself. This would have to be one of the most important things that you can do, is to position yourself. Position yourself in the house of God. And you're all here, so I'm speaking to the choir. You're all here in the house of God. We need to position ourselves in the house of God because of who He is, because He turns up, because of the great community of believers He's put us with. Sometimes we don't feel like it. Sometimes we don't feel like it. But can I remind ourselves that doing the things that we feel like often get us into a lot of trouble. It's doing the things we feel like got us into a sin. Doing the things we feel like led to the drift. But if we go, "No, I'm not going to be led by my flesh. I'm just going to get up and do these things that I don't feel like," you get there and God shows up. It's like God makes your flesh catch up to your spirit. Can I encourage you to go to a connect group? A connect group is just another name for a group of people that get together and read the Bible and pray and encourage one another and share each other's lives together. So you're not alone sitting in this congregation this morning. Go to the next step bar and find one and turn up even when you don't feel like it. Go to courses if you're struggling with an addiction. If you're struggling in some area, I can nearly guarantee you that Jen Tooley has a course for you. And you're like, "Of course, how that's going to help." It's just positioning yourself for success. It's just positioning yourself for God to show up. Just get into those things. Go to the Vision Builders dinner and position yourself to be in a great place of generosity. You know, that might not even be what God wants you there for. You might rock up and be sitting next to someone at the table that God has divinely positioned you there to meet. Just turn up. You know, presence, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I showed up. That's all I did because I wasn't in a particularly great place. I was feeling quite discouraged. And I know as pastors, that should never happen, right, pastors? Discouraged and a little dry. But I showed up. I didn't show up seeking God, like we read in that first scripture, knocking and seeking. No, I just showed up. I just showed up. And I tell you, the divine favor and unmerited grace of God was poured out in me. I did nothing to deserve it. And as He came, I was like, "Oh, Lord." And you know, the first thing it led me to was repentance. "Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." Because His love and His grace leads us back into a beautiful place of communion with Him. So keep showing up in every area of your life. Keep showing up. And check your influences. If I was to ask you right now, who is your number one influence? And you can't say Jesus. Well, you can say Jesus. That'd be awesome. But I'm saying in your world, in your physical world here, who's your number one influence? So I would say one of my number one influences is my amazing hubby, Roo. You're awesome. He's my biggest encourager. He's such a man of God. He's so wise and awesome, and he's really funny. And I just, yeah, give him a massive ovation. But when I'm feeling discouraged about, if I talk to Reuben, he's not going to lead me to the pit or to the desert. Leads me to Jesus. Who's influencing you? Are they leading you to Jesus? Or when you talk to them or read it or watch it or get involved in it, does it lead you closer to the Lord? Because if it doesn't, be very careful. You really need to have the things that influence you to greatly outweigh the others. Does that mean you can't do other things like watch television? Of course you can. But if all you do is watch television 24/7, I can tell you your biggest influence is what's on that box. If all you're doing is on social media, if all you're doing is watching Netflix, if all you're doing is reading the news, you're going to be in a cowering, fearful mess on the floor. Jesus, the Bible, they've got to be the biggest influences, and the people around you that you're letting influence your life, they have to be leading you in that direction for you to hear God. Seen too many people leave church, leave even their relationship with God because someone in their ear. And it wasn't wise for them to be listening to that voice that was leading them away from the Lord. And finally, I'd like to say that the last, but probably the most important, is to choose Jesus. Choose Jesus. You know those little wristbands from the 90s? What would Jesus do? Choose Jesus in every area. You know, we've got water baptisms tonight. If there is an area of your life that is not consecrated on the altar, that is not sold out for Him, if you are in a place where you're going, something's got to shift, choose Jesus. Come and get re-water baptized tonight. I want to ask you to close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to look into your life, do a little inventory into your life this morning. And we tend to compartmentalize our world. So you might have your marriage or your relationships, your children. It might be your prayer life, your work, your study, your finances, all the different areas. I want to ask you, is the Lord, Lord, over every area of your life? Because like Joshua says, you can't have idols and the Lord. It's choose today who you will serve. And this is not a salvation altar call. If you are feeling today that there is an area of your life right now that you need to choose Jesus again, I just want you to raise your hand. I'm going to raise my hand because I'm like, yep. I need to choose Jesus to be Lord over every area of my life. I want you to raise your hand and acknowledge it to God, and then I'm just going to pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for every person in this room with their hand raised, acknowledging that there's an area of their life that is not living for you, that they choose you today, that maybe they were running away and they've been caught up today, pursued down, you chase them down and they go, yeah, today. Father, I pray you fill them with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that they would turn and embrace you into that area of their life. They walk you into that area and you bring light into every area of their world. This morning, I pray your divine grace upon them. You can put your hands down. I want to ask you another question this morning. With your eyes closed, I want to ask you if you identify with being pursued by God. You might remember there was a time in your life where you felt very close to the Lord. But you're a little bit like Moses, where you feel very distant and dry, and your whole life has been wandering in the wilderness. I want to ask you this morning, is that you? Do you need to come and recommit your life back to Jesus? Do you need to stop running and turn around and ask the Lord to be Lord of your life again, all over again? To start your commitment walking with Christ again. And if that's you and you know that you are far from God, that your prayer life is non-existent, you haven't read the Bible, but you're feeling your conscience being pricked right now, Just raise your hand and say, yes, this is the day I turn and give my life back to the Lord. I choose Jesus. If that's you, just raise your hand right now. I'm going to acknowledge it and you can put it down. Thank you. I see your hand. Thanks. Is there anyone else here? See your hand. You can put it down. Anyone else? I want to ask one more question before I lead you in prayer. There might be someone here that goes, that's cool. I don't know Jesus. But you are being pursued by him right now. Do you know that Jesus was there when you were formed in your mother's womb? Jesus has been there pursuing you, every good and every bad choice you've made all the days of your life. And he's pursued you to this place where you're sitting in this room this morning, where you feel his presence and you're going, I think that might be God chasing me down. And he's caught you and you go, wow, this is the Lord. I would like to give my heart to this God who would pursue me no matter what, who would give me unmerited grace and favor no matter what. If that's you and you're saying, I would like to follow Jesus for the first time, give him my life this morning, I'd like you to raise your hand and say, yep, I didn't know him, but I've been chased down by God. I'm going to give my life to the Lord. I see you. Thanks, man. You can put your hand down. Is there anyone else here this morning that's going to give their heart to the Lord and go, yep, this is it. This is it. Awesome. Okay, for those people that raise their hand, we're going to pray this prayer. Church, I want you all to pray it with them. Close your eyes, let's pray. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for and receive your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose again from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and my life. I trust you today. Follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, for every hand raised. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you come in great power right now. I pray even as they're sitting in their seats this morning, they feel the Holy Spirit filling them with power to make the changes. I thank you, Lord, that you are their greatest encourager and greatest cheerleader. We thank you, Lord God, for who you are and what you've done and your unmeritable favor and grace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's give the Lord a big thanks this morning. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Awesome. We hope you enjoyed this message. If you have a story to share about God's work in your life, we'd love to hear it. Email us at stories@myc3church.net. Stay in touch and up to date. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram with the handle @C3 Oxford Falls.